Technically speaking, a new sugya. This is really part of a very, very long sugya. That's the sugya of Yehar Vayava. Last year we spoke a little bit about Yehar Vayava, particularly in the realm of Avodah Zarah, and then we spoke over a little bit to Gilui Arayos as well. Now we're going to focus more on the dinner of Yehar Vayava, particularly in the realm of Gilui Arayos. So the halacha starts out quite clearly in the first and around the Kamos. And one is not allowed to heal oneself, even if it costs a person one's life. One is not permitted to violate a Vedazara for the purpose of healing. One is not permitted to violate the Isur of Gilui Arayos or the Isur of Shrichas Damim. So the Gemara then goes through one of the makaros for these things. So Vedazara, the Amran of Vedazara, we know. We already spoke about what the Mocha was. B'chol Nafshecha. For Gilui Arayos and Shrichas Damim, the sign, how do we know that Gilui Arayos and the murder are Yehar Vayavar? The sign, Rabbi Yoimer, Kika Sheyakum Isha Re'eot Zechol Nefesh Kenan Devarazeh. The Torah compares the Aveir of Gilui Arayos, the particular Aveir of Na'ara Marasa, a person who rapes a young girl who was already technically married, so that would be a violation of Eishes Ish. So the Torah says that that woman, that little girl who was raped, so that's like as if you killed her. So we ask the Gemara, what is the meaning of that comparison? What is the halachic significance of saying that the victim of the rape is like the victim of the murder? So it's coming to teach us a whole series of different halachos. So it's coming to compare the act of Ritzicha to the act of Gilui Arayos. Just as the Torah says that if you see a woman getting raped and there's no way to save her except by killing the man, and you're permitted, you're obligated to do so. So too, if you see Reuben running up to Shimon to kill him, there's no way to protect Shimon, you're allowed to kill Reuben. That's the din of a rogue. So the halacha of Ritzicha and rape are similar vis-a-vis Hilchos Rodev. That's not the part of our sugya that interests us right now. But the next part interests us, the Na'amaros Rotzech, Mar Rotzech Yehar Vayavar, Af Na'amaros Yotero V'yotavar. Just as Rotzech is Yehar Vayavar, just as you're not permitted to save your life if doing so causes you to kill somebody else, so too you're not permitted to save your life if causing you to do so will cause you to violate Gilui Arayos. So when all the dust settles, the mokor for the din that Gilui Arayos is Yehar Vayavar is clearly a din min haTorah. It's derived from Rotzech. It's based on this hekesh, this comparison to Rotzech. Just as Ritzicha, just as Shvichus Damim is Yehar Vayavar, the Gemara will explain a little bit later how we know that, but that's not for us right now. Just as Ritzicha is Yehar Vayavar, so to Gilui Arayos is Yehar Vayavar. That's of course the halacha. Nobody argues in this. That is the halacha as appears in Pesachim Kofayim, appears in Shulchan Aruch and Yerudeh. Notwithstanding the fact that the general rules are that only these three Averas are Yehar Vayavar, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim. The Gemara then goes on in the second of the Maramah comes and said, Hedidah, I am down on an Aleph, and qualifies these rules a little bit. The Gemara says, Kiyosan of Dini Emre Biyachiran, Loshana Elish Lobishas Hashman, Bashbishas Hashman, Afilim Mitzakan and Avi Ayavar. That when do these rules apply? These are only true if it's not a target persecution. But if the Goyim are trying to persecute the Jews, particularly they're decreeing things against practicing Torah mitzvahs, then everything goes. Everything is Yehar Vayavar. Even things which would otherwise not be so serious. And then the Gemara continues, Ki Yasa Rabbi Rabbi Vyaykh, Atul Shlom B'Shas Hashman, Va'omra Va'bet Sinav Ha'fahet Sefil Mat Mitzikai Yehar Vayavar. And Rabbi Yochanan went one step further and said, when do these rules apply that only these three of Haras are Yehar Vayavar? That's in private. But if it's in public, and the Goyim are trying to make light of the mitzvahs and to make us violate the mitzvahs publicly, then the halacha of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem apply, and even lower level mitzvahs would be Yehar Vayavar. So basically the rules of Yehar Vayavar are really threefold. There are the regular standards, then there are the standards of Shas Hashman, and then there are the standards of Prahesia. So the regular rules are, everything else you violate, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Kasha, everything else you violate, with the exception of the big three of it, is Zagir Rash, Shvichas Damim. The second category is, if it's Shas Hashmad, then everything is Yehar Vayavar. And the third category is, if it's Farhesia, then everything is Yehar Vayavar as well. So it's with this background, that the Gemara then goes, asks a question, which throws into a question our entire sugya of Gilui Arayos. So if we take a look, it's four lines from the bottom of the second of the Maramah Kamos, same Maramah Kamos, same Edrinah Dalit. It's four lines from the bottom, the middle of the line. Yes, the Gemara about Esther Farhesia Avoy. Esther, the story of the Megillah, she was in the status of Farhesia. How come Esther let herself be taken to Achashverosh all those years that she was living with Achashverosh? So even though obviously it wasn't willingly, but she should have stopped. She should have said, no, that kill me instead.
Not in the Yom,
you know, okay, so it's Esther was Farhesia. And as Farhesia, the halacha should be, under all circumstances, it should have been Yehar Beliyah. That's the Gemara's question. So those four words are very troubling to the Rishonim. Esther Farhesia Avoy. Why are these four words troubling to the Rishonim? Is because it's a great question the Gemara is asking, but it should have asked a different question. The context of Farhesia means even something which is not from the three Averis HaChamuras, even though it's not a Badazar, it's not Gidirayah, it's not Shrikhaz Dahim, but if it's public, everybody knows about it. He had all the Jews in Shushan knew about it. Achashverosh was the only one in the dark. He's the only one who didn't know that she was Jewish. But Mordechai knew about it. Her family knew about it. Her neighbors knew about it. So they all knew she was Jewish. They knew she was taken by the king. They all knew that she was violating, in a sense, the severity of living with a non-Jewish king. So the Gemara is only troubled with those four words. I have a much better question. The much more powerful question is, she was Gilearias. Why was it Gilead Arias? So you have to add in a little piece of information. The Gemara Maseches Megillah tells us that Esther was actually married to Mordechai. Not only was she adopted by Mordechai as a cousin, as the Pesukim say explicitly, but she was actually married to Mordechai as well. The Gemara is a famous Rasha, V'lekacha Mordechai lo levas. It says that Mordechai took a razor like a daughter, so the Gemara says, Atikin levas al labayas. That at least some Chazal interpreted this pasuk to mean that he took her for his home. I mean, he adopted her not as a child, he adopted her as a wife as well. So that's the case. Working with that Gemara Maseches Megillah, that Mordechai and Esther were actually married to one another. So she was an Ashkenazi, she was a married woman. So why in the world why wasn't she Moser Nefesh? Why did she go along when the officer of the king came? She should have said, no, that's it, I'm Ish is Ish, and I can't go with you. And they would have said, we're going to kill you. She says, that's not kill me. So why didn't that happen? And the Gemara doesn't say boo, the Gemara doesn't say a word about that. The Gemara doesn't even discuss that issue. All the Gemara is bothered with is that it's Farhesia. It was Farhesia, it wasn't right what she was doing, everybody knew about it, but why did they forget about Farhesia? Even if nobody would have known about it, it should have still been Yehar Beliyahu based on the fact that it was Gilead Arias. Okay, so the truth is that the Gemara is clear that he did not give her a gift, and Tosfos actually raises that question. Why didn't Mordechai give her a gift? So Tosfos says that would have brought attention to what was going on. It would have been public. It would have been a big thing. It would have brought people around. It's kasha. It's a Matthias kasha. Tosfos says Mordechai was afraid to give her a gift. He thought it would draw too much attention to the story. That's what Tosfos says. It's hard for us to go back to Persia 2,500 years ago to figure out what Mordechai's intention was. But Akoparim, it's clear for the Gemara that she was married and she remained married, and it's clear for the Gemara. The Gemara ignored that question. So why did the Gemara ignore that question? Light of Asugya, why did the Gemara ignore that question? So just in case we don't get too concerned with this, maybe she wasn't married. So there's the similar question is posed by the Rishonim in the beginning of Maseches Ksubas, a little bit of a different context, but basically a similar question. The Gemara beginning of Maseches Ksubas discusses that there used to be decrees by the Greeks at the time. The Rambam writes that these decrees took place at the time of Chanukah, the preceding the days of Chanukah. The first Mishnah in Ksubas talks about when the Jewish girls used to get married. Besul Nisus Biyom Arvi used to get married on Wednesday. The reason why they got married on Wednesday is also in the Gemara. They used to originally get married on Tuesdays, and then the guy used to come and take the young brides. And they would force the young kallahs to be mezana with the Greek general before they would go to the chuppah. So even though these girls were Eishes Ish already, they already had kedushin, they were in effect Naram Arasas, the Goyim used to force them to be together with them. And the Gemara says that there were girls who were getting killed because there were girls who were putting up a fight. They were not agreeing to violate the Savera. They were getting killed instead. So the Gemara says, why were they getting killed? They should have given in. They should have been Mizana. They should have gone along with the Greek generals rather than getting killed. So come to Rishonim and ask, what do you mean they should have gone along with the Greek generals? How were they allowed to go along with the Greek generals? It was Gilead Arias. They're already Ish is Ish. So it's in effect the same question. What some Rishonim ask on the historical events of Mordechai and Esther, others were asking on the historical events of Chanukah. Purim and Chanukah both represented in the same kasha. What happened to Gili Arayis? Here we have a Feir Shikmar Psachim that Gili Arayis is Yahar Bal Yavor. What happened to Gili Arayis? How come? How come we're somehow forgetting about the din of Gili Arayis being Yahar Bal Yavor? How come the Gemara ignores it both in Maseches Sanhedrin as well as in Maseches Ksubas? So comes Tosfos. If you take a look at the third of the Ramakamos. Comes Tosfos in Sachem Chafeim with Beis after Maras Yerba Yavor. Perish Haboel of Alhi Tibol Velo Tehareg. The Karka Olami Kivyam Ben Saramora Obereish Ksubas Nabi Parach Lishul Diodashari. Says Tosfos one very simple answer. When do we say that Gili Arayis is Yahar Bel Yavor? That's only true vis-a-vis the man. If you come to a man and put a gun to his head and say, either you're Mizana with that woman or we're going to kill you, so the thing is, the man is not permitted to be Mizana. For the man, we say Yahar Bel Yavor. But if you put the same gun to the woman's head and you say, you're required to be Yahar Bel Yavor, we're going to kill you, not a problem. She's permitted to have Gili Arayis violated to her. Why is that? Because the woman is not doing the action. The woman is only karka oilam, a new category that Allah called karka oilam. She's literally the ground, she's passive. The aveir of zinus is happening to her. There's no din of Yahar Bel Yavor under no circumstances. The Tosfos just came in one fell swoop. Tosfos saw both the lovers. When do we say that Gili Arayis is Yahar Bel Yavor? That's for the men. For the woman, it's not true. And that's why for Esther, there was no din of Yahar Bel Yavor. That's why the Gemara had to ask a question of for Hesia. And there is no din of Yahar Bel Yavor for a woman. That's why the Gemara Ksubas said that we should encourage the girl to actually be Mizana, because since it was being done passively, it wasn't a problem. Everything changes. All the rules are different for a woman and for a man because of that fundamental term, two words, Karka Olam. Where in the world did Tosfos get this idea from? Tosfos made up this concept of Karka Olam. Tosfos didn't make it up. Tosfos took it, borrowed it, and reapplied it to the Gemara Maseches from the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. So let's take a look back to the Gemara Sanhedrin, back to the second Imam comments for a minute. Back to the four lines on the bottom where we left off. I asked the for Hesia, boy. The Gemara asked the question. I asked it was for Hesia, so she should have given up her life. Rabbi Esther Karka Olam Hoysa. Esther was Karka Olam. That was the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara already used the answer of Karka Olam to solve the Farhesia problem. So Tosfos just took the Karka Olam answer and plugged it into the Gili Arayis problem. Tosfos said, just as the Gemara asked the Kasha, Esther Farhesia, and the Gemara answered Karka Olam, and therefore we weren't not considered Farhesia, Tosfos said we're going to borrow that same answer and use it to solve the Gili Arayis problem. For Lachar, we have a big problem, Tosfos. It's a very serious stylistic problem in the Gemara. Numan of Shach, as we say. Did the Gemara realize this Svar of Karka Olam or not? Was the Gemara aware that there's a difference between men and women vis-a-vis the din of Gili Arayis? Numan of Shach. If the Gemara already knew the answer, the Gemara already chapped that there's a difference, there's a din of Karka Olam, that you heard by Yahweh doesn't apply to the women, so then why the Gemara asked the question if I asked the press Yahweh? If the Gemara didn't realize it yet, it was only Abai who introduced the concept, so then back to square one. So why did the Gemara ask Esther for Hesia? The Gemara should have asked Esther Gili Arayis. So it's a nice answer that Tosfos said. Tosfos took the Gemara Karka Olam and said, yeah, that's the answer to my Kasha also. But that doesn't fit in the Gemara. If the Gemara didn't know that answer, then the Gemara should have asked a better question. If the Gemara knew the answer, why waste time asking any question? So the whole Tosfos is totally blunt. So this is not my Kasha, it's Tosfos' Kasha themselves. So Tosfos says no. Tosfos says the Gemara realized the answer of Karka Olam vis-a-vis the issue of Gili Arayis, but the Gemara didn't realize the issue of Karka Olam vis-a-vis the issue of Farhesia. What's going on? So Tosfos explains as follows. Tosfos says, if you take a look back to the third of the Maimonides, Tosfos says, V'riyam, let's go back to V'riyam. V'riyam, a second line at the top. Back to the beginning. Stop beginning to Tosfos again. Perish HaBoel, V'hiti Bo'ab, Lo Te'arek, D'kaka Olam, Miki D'Arme, Ben Saramon, V'reish K'subas, Nami Prop, Lishul D'on Ashari. Let's take a look at V'alasos Maisa. Skip down to the third one. V'alasos Maisa, K'gon She'omelo Te'tavya Erva Aleha, Te'harev Yal Ta'avar. If they say to the woman, you... you actively bring the erva on you. Not that someone's going to actually, not that you're going to remain passive, but they say to the woman, you go ahead and you actively bring the man onto you, then we would say erva yava. So where is all this coming from? When do we say erva yava when, huh? Says, tell us it's very simple. The meratzeach yafina, everything is learned out from murder. Remember we said at the beginning of the sugya, what's the mocha that gives you a rise to erva yava? We learn it out from Ritzicha. Just as Ritzicha is Yehar V'Yavar, so too Gideon Rice is Yehar V'Yavar. And how do we know that Ritzicha is Yehar V'Yavar? That's the famous Gemara Maichodis, the Domini Doch Sumuk Tvei. Because we say to a person, how dare you kill somebody else? How could you, Reuben, kill Shimon? How do you know that your blood is redder than Shimon's? So it's a Pasha Svara that I am not allowed to actively kill somebody to save my life. But what if I'm not actively killing somebody? What if I'm passively killing somebody? So Tosis creates the following suggestion. When do we say that Ritzich is Yerav Yavar? That's when we tell you to kill somebody actively. What if somebody comes to you and says as follows? Either we're going to kill you, or the only way for us not to kill you is you have to stop moving, don't budge, and we're going to throw you out the window. That's not such a high window. We're going to throw you out the window once for a baby, which is going to kill the baby. In other words, Tosfos is looking, they're looking for a scenario of Ritzicha B'Shev Al Ta'aseh. We're saying to you, listen, you're going to be a murderer. We're telling you to murder somebody, but not actively. You're not going to pull the trigger. You're not going to shoot. You're not going to stab somebody. We're going to use you to kill somebody else. You're going to be the Ritzicha B'Shev Al Ta'aseh. So Tosfos, the din is, I'm not going to give up my life. The din of my chazus, the din that says that your blood is not redder than the other person's blood, that means you have no right to pull the trigger. But for you to be a passive murderer, that you have a right to do. That's what Taisa says. And if so, then the same halacha carries over to Gidei Arayas. When do we say that Gidei Arayas is Yehar Bel Yavar? That's to actively do Gidei Arayas. What's active Gidei Arayas? A man is active Gidei Arayas, or a woman can theoretically become active. She initiates it, she can also be active Gidei Arayas, but 99% of the time when the woman is going to be, she's going to be raped, she's going to be passive. That's called passive Gidei Arayas. Passive Gidei Arayas is called Karka Olam, and therefore there's no din of Yarva Yavar. And the Gemara knew that right away. The Gemara didn't need a sugya in a second to tell us that. We figured it out on our own. We figured it out. If the whole mochor from Gidei Arayas is learned out from Ritzicha, so that difference between active and passive was built into the system from day one. Everybody knew that. We don't need a bayit in Mechadish now. That's why the Gemara didn't ask the question of Gidei Arayas. But the Gemara thought that af al pi chein, there's still an aveira for Hesya. This is still a terrible thing. You have a Jewish woman living, a Jewish married woman living with a guy. So it's not Gidei Arayas in the active sense, but it's still bad, and it's still for Hesya, it's still an aveira. So the Gemara thought that the Svar of Karka Olam was only a Svar of Gidei Arayas. The Gemara didn't realize that Karka Olam was a Svar of Parhesia as well, but that could minimize the Parhesia issue. That was Abaye's contribution to the Sugya. When Abaye said, Esther Karka Olam, I saw, Abaye was not the first one to discover the Svar of Karka Olam. We knew about the Svar of Karka Olam, but we thought that the Svar of Karka Olam only made sense in Hilchos Gidei Arayas, because Gidei Arayas was learned out from Ritzicha, so therefore governed by the difference between a Maisa versus not a Maisa. But the Gemara didn't realize the Karka Olam played a role in Hilchos Parhesia until Abaye came along and told us Esther Karka Olam. So the answer to our question, the Manushach, did the Gemara realize Karka Olam did it not? The answer is it did, partially. It realized Karka Olam vis-a-vis Gidei Arayas. It didn't realize Karka Olam vis-a-vis Parhesia.
So according to this, the story of the women with the Greek generals, they were doing something improper in a sense by giving up their lives.
Right, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara actually said that. The Gemara said that they should not give up their lives. That's right, 100%. So Kopanim, getting back to that story, so what Tosfos is really telling us, there's now a Bris Ketura. There are two din of Karka Olam. There's a din of Karka Olam that's a mitigating factor in terms of Gidei Arayas, and then there's a Svar of Karka Olam that's a mitigating factor in terms of Farhesia. And they're working with different rules, they're working with different guidelines. What's the reason that Karka Olam doesn't require you to be Maisa Nefesh for Gidei Arayas? That's learned out from Ritzicha. What's the Mocha, what's the Svar of Karka Olam vis-a-vis Farhesia? That's what we showed him, right? It's not such a chalasha. The whole idea of Farhesia is that the chalasha. What a terrible chalasha that the guy is getting up and being Mechal Shabbos publicly. What a terrible chalasha the guy is eating Chumas and Pesach publicly. Here, I don't do anything. What's the Chal Hashem? Something's being done to me. So that's a mitigating factor within Hilchos Chal Hashem. So it's the same words, Karech Olam. It sounds identical, but they're fundamentally different. In one case, Karech Olam is something which prevents the limud from Ritzicha. Just as Ritzicha, there's a difference between active and passive. So to get it right, there's a difference between active and passive. The second application of Karech Olam has nothing to do with Ritzicha, it's with Gila Reis. The second application of Karech Olam has to do with it's a lack of Chil Hashem. It's not a serious violation of Chil Hashem, therefore the Dinim of Yerba Yavah don't apply. So according to this razzle dazzle, Chiddush HaTaisa, it comes out a lot of Dinim, Chiddushim HaLocha, it comes out that HaLocha Lamais, according to Taisa, Yerba Yavah for Gila Reis is only active Gila Reis, not passive Gila Reis. Active is determined by either the man versus the woman, or even when the woman, you can sometimes have a situation of active giving arise as well. A kolpar, not everybody agrees to this thesis. Other Rishonim have different answers to the kasha. Other Rishonim say, no, you know why the Gemara didn't ask the question by Esther giving arise? For a totally different reason. If we take a look at the bottom of the sixth of the Maram Kavos, comes the Balamor and said, "Hetin Yudchesem and Aleph." So, "Hani Mili Kulu to come a Chavin Anochi Lavul Yisrael." The Balanos Atzbo Lo Shlohi Lo Shlohi Shari says the Balamor, "Where do all the dinim of Yehar Vayavar apply? That's when the Goy is interested in causing the Jew to be chaytei. But what if the Goy doesn't really care? The Goy wants for his own fun. He's not interested in what the Jews women are. He's not out to get Judaism. He's out for his own Hanoha." Shari, everything is mutter. How does the Balamor know that? Ta esther gili arayis avoy. Ufa esther avoy. Ta fil hochi mutter, hanos atzmon. So says the Balamor, hanos atzmon is mutter. If you go back to the second of the Maram Kavos, back to Sanhedrin, right where we left off in the fourth line from the bottom, Omer Abai esther kekar olamoysa, that was Abai's answer. So Rava Omer hanos atzmon shiny. Rava said the reason why Esther was not Yerba Yavor is because Achashverosh wasn't interested in causing us to violate mitzvahs. Achashverosh wanted to come for his own honor to be mitzvah with Esther. So whenever it's Hanos Atzmon, it's going to be mutter. Now true, the Gemara only answered Hanos Atzmon to the question of Fahesia. The Gemara never asked the Gili Arai's question. But says the Balamor, yeah, it's the same answer. Says the Balamor the same way the Gemara answers Hanos Atzmon for Hesia. The Gemara could have just as easily answered Hanos Atzmon for Gili Arayis. So why didn't the Gemara ask Gili Arayis? Well, the Rishon say, because it's not the same Rishon the Pesukim that it was Gili Arayis. It's a Chazal, it's in the first place of Megillah that she was married. Maybe others disagree. Kasha Levi said, why didn't the Gemara ask it? But once the Gemara says those magic words, Hanos Atzmon Shani, Hanos Atzmon Shani solves all the problems. So comes the Balamor with an unbelievable Chiddush Allah. Comes the Balamor and says, anytime there's a din of Yehar VaYavar, you have to ask yourself the following question. Before you apply a Yehar VaYavar, ask yourself, what's the Goy's motives? What's the incentive of the Goy? If the Goy's incentive is for his own enjoyment, then there's no Yehar VaYavar. Even if it's Kibbul Averis. But if the Goy's incentive is Lahavra Ladas, the Goy's interested in making you violate an Averis to make light his Torah, then and only then does the dinim of Yehar VaYavar apply. This is the Chiddush of the Balamor.
The assumption is that in Ketubot, the Hegemon wanted to defy the religion.
No, that's the opposite. He wanted for, that's why it was talking about Yehar VaYavar. The Gemara said that what the little girls, the Jewish girls were doing was wrong. The Gemara criticized them and said, why are you giving up your lives? You should have just been Mizana with them. The reason is because it was on Hanos Atzmon. So this is a brand new Chiddush of the Balamor. So now we find the Rishonim are chipping away at the dinner of Yehar VaYavar. We start off the Sigma saying, Gili Arayis and Yehar VaYavar, Chayk V'lo Yavar, no matter what happens. That's the Pashut. So I said, depends. Are you a man or you a woman? Is it a Maisa? Not a Maisa. Comes the Balamor and says, depends. Is it, what's the motive of the Goy? Is it Hanos Atzmon? Is it Lavra Ladas? Everything's going to depend on the motive of the Goy. This is the Balamor's Chiddush. How did the Balamor know this? Quite a Chiddush to say such a thing. That Hanos Atzmon is going to change the everything. So he got it from the Gemara. Because if you take a look back at the bottom of the second of Maram HaKamos, Rava is the greatest source for the Balamor. The end of the fourth line from the bottom, Rava Om Hanos Atzmon Shani. How did Rava know there's a principle of Hanos Atzmon? The Elo Temahi, if you don't accept this rule of Hanos Atzmon, Hani Kavake Vidimuniki Hechi Avir Lahu, El Hanos Atzmon Shani. What in the world are the Kavake Dimuniki, if I'm going to pronounce them properly, what are they? Because Rashi explains that the Goyim used to have in their temples, in their base of Arizara, it got cold in the wintertime, and they needed wood. So they used to go around collecting wood from all the people in town to provide, to heat up the temple so they could serve in their Arizara. So they would come to the Jews as well, and they would say to the Jews, you better give us wood to help the fires going in the base of Arizara. So the Jews used to give the fire, the Jews used to give the wood. He asks Rava, what right do we have to do that? We're supporting Avodah Zarah. The answer is the Goyim. They're going to kill us if we say no. So what? Yehargal Yavor. So Rava says, no, the reason why it's totally okay to give the wood to the base of Avodah Zarah is because it's Hanas Atzmah. They're doing it. They want the wood to keep themselves warm. They're not interested in killing Jews. They're not interested in causing us to worship their religion. They're going to kill us. They need wood, and the Jews are in the wood business. So therefore Rava says, it's Hanas Atzmah, therefore it's going to be Mutar. So comes the Balamor and says, Rav is bringing a raya that Hanas Atzmon is mutter from a case of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is usually Yehargal Yavor. The regular rules, the starting point of Avodah Zarah is, all of Avodah Zarah is Yehargal Yavor. And Afa Bichain, if it's Hanas Atzmon, it's mutter. So you see from here that Hanas Atzmon breaks all rules. Hanas Atzmon is mutter for a Gilei Raya, Avodah Zarah, etc. This is the Balamor's raya. So comes the Ramban and says, what kind of raya is that? That was not Avodah Zarah proper. What was that? That was Lufta Iver of Avodah Zarah. We're not worshipping the Jews. We're not worshipping the wood. The Jews aren't being held a gun to that and saying, you bow down to this idol and we're going to kill you. The Jews are being asked to support the base of Avodah Zarah. They're being asked to support the pagan temples. So comes the Rabban and says, that's not Avodah Zarah. That was only for Hesya. That's why the Gemara never mentioned Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is discussing the issue of for Hesya. Normally, we would not be permitted to support the Goyish temples. That would be an Aveira. It's not Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means when you get down, you bow to get your knees, and you bow down to an idol. That's called being worshiping Avodah Zarah. So how could the Baal HaMor bring a raya from that Gemara that the Gimel Aveiras are not Yehar V'Yavim, it's not Atzman, the Ramban, so we have a major machlokes between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. If you have a Shiloh of Gilei Raya, you have a Shiloh of Avodah Zarah, and the Goy's incentive is not for religious purposes. The Goy just out to have a good time. The Goy needs something for his Avodah Zarah. The Goy wants to be Mizana with a Jewish girl. It's purely Anos Atzmon. Is that called Yehar V'Yavor or not? So the Baal HaMor says, no, whenever it's Anos Atzmon, there's no such thing as Yehar V'Yavor. And the Ramban says, Ma Pitom, there is no such thing. That Raya of the Gemara, what kind of Raya is that? That Gemara is not even talking about Avodah Zarah. That Gemara is talking about helping a Goy facilitate Avodah Zarah. So there are two important things that are going on in that sugya. There's how to read that Gemara about the Kvachis and the Munikis, whatever they pronounce properly or improperly. And then we have a fundamental machlokes about, is there a new category called Hanas Atzmon Shiny? So for Mr. Shem, we have to continue with this Machlokes Baal HaMor and the Rabban, how to understand how this plays out in terms of Yehar V'Yavor, and this is going to open up for us a whole major Machlokes about a category which is called Lufta Iver, because in effect what the Rabban is saying against the Baal HaMor is that I'm not being asked to worship Avodah Zarah, I'm being asked to help you worship Avodah Zarah. If it's too cold, the Goyim won't come to the temple that day. So I'm being asked to facilitate Avodah Zarah. Is that called Avodah Zarah or not? So that's going to open up for us a whole new question about the relationship of Lufta Iver to Avodah Zarah. That's going to bring back yesterday's sugya about Mizrayu back again. So there's a lot going on in between the lines between this Baal HaMor and the Rabban. Hopefully, from next week, we'll try to begin to analyze Machlokes Baal HaMor and the Rabban. So we only have the next week, we only have Tuesday next week, which is Wednesday Shavuot.
When the church groups come to your house,
yeah, that's right. Okay, we got what to talk about. Okay, hopefully, we won't be hurt by Yahweh. Hopefully, they won't be doing it.
Friday is the
Friday. Oh, Friday is the